Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
You control 603-283-6160. That's the phone number for you to call in to bring up whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
And Nikki.
And we've been talking, we were talking to Sarah about her personal life issues last segment. I really wanted to keep her on only to make the point to her that this guest, or these guests that won't leave her house, are somewhat like, you know, they're mooching off of her and her boyfriend or her friend or whatever. And they're somewhat like her mooching off of all her friends and neighbors and, you know, community members in New Mexico. But unfortunately, she seemed to hang up as soon as we went on break. I think she does not understand when you're telling her you can hold her on. It's like if you mute her,
she's probably not used to that.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever done that before.
That's a good point. She's not used to us. Like, I was more interested in that conversation than any conversation I've had with her for like 2 months, because she's usually calling in about, did you know that they put the election candidates on the TV?
Nothing to me.
Means nothing to me either. But before that, we were talking about this article from APnews.com that is about Javier Milei, the person who won the primary and then won second place in the election for president in Argentina. And since the first place guy didn't get enough of a gap in between him and Javier, they're going to have a runoff. And I think Milei could win because the third place lady, she dislikes Massa, the first place guy, more than Milei. So she basically gave him her blessing. And all her fans are probably, everyone who voted for her, they're probably going to vote for Milei.
Yeah.
And that adds up to more than the first place guy.
Yeah.
So I really think that Milei could win this October 19th. And that's coming up, right? That's like 4 days from now. And we're reading this article about basically his supporters dressing up. And why is that important? It's kind of not, but the AP News and other news outlets that cover Javier Milei.
Yeah. They seem to think it's like the most important thing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it does show that people, and I kind of said this in the last segment, like, when people are rooting this hard for you, and, you know, like, if it's a regular political candidate, you know, maybe you'll show up and show your support or whatever, or maybe you want to listen and, you know, just hear what they have to say, right? But to, like, dress up.
Mm-hmm. As him.
As him. Dress up as him.
Yeah.
Or even just, you know, he talks about lions a lot. I guess that's his thing. Like, he's like, oh, I'm the king of the jungle, whatever. To dress up like lions and, like, all of these things. To, like, go that hard to, like, start cosplaying at his speech. I forget what this was. If it was just a speaking engagement he had or something.
It says outside his campaign headquarters. After polls closed for general election.
Okay. Yeah, so after they voted for him, they went to his campaign headquarters to, like, cheer him on and be like, we love you. Like, to have, like, it's one thing to be like, oh, yeah, I like this political candidate and I'm going to vote for them.
I would never
and there's
dress
another
up for
thing.
That,
yeah.
Like, if Ron Paul was doing his thing during the time that I was over 18, I probably would have been doing something.
I mean, I have a Ron Paul shirt, but I wouldn't, like, go to his campaign. I'm also, like, not that into politics, but these people love him genuinely, and I feel like that's because they're seeing all of these horrific issues. Like, these things are affecting their day-to-day lives with the inflation and, mm-hmm. you know, with all of this other, like, tyranny as a direct result of the politicians that are currently in power, and this guy's coming in and being like, listen, I see you. You know, I understand. Like, I'm right there with you. I'm equally as frustrated, and I want to do something about it. Like, that... People, like, that's on a, like, a personal level, right? So it's like, not only are you a politician, but I feel like you care about my well-being, and I'm really upset, and you're upset, too. Like, people are very well receptive to that, you know what I mean?
This kind of ties into something we were talking about earlier in the night. We were talking about how people around our age, like, in their 20s,
yeah,
they don't want to talk about politics. They're not interested. They don't care about what's going on in that realm. Well, it was a great idea for Javier to break out of just the purely political discussion.
Yeah.
He's making it okay, like, socially acceptable, like, less lame to those types of people to be a supporter of his. Because, yeah, like, it would feel so lame if I saw somebody my age, like, dressed up as any political candidate in the United States that they care about.
Yeah. Well, they're all, like, old guy. I mean, I guess he's kind of an old guy, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
They're all, like, decrepit. I mean, he looks better than the candidates we have.
Right.
Okay, so that's young.
Yeah. For
like, we have, like, how old is Joe Biden? He's, like, decrepit and senile. He looks like he's 90 years old. You know what I mean? Like, you know, look at the royal family in freaking England. Like, they, all of these people are old and decrepit. It's like... It's not cool. You know what I mean? Like, to a younger person, it's not cool. And I guess...
Some old people can be cool. Like, Jessica Lange, if she was running for president.
I don't know who that is.
She is, she was in King Kong, like, the older King Kong.
Oh.
And she was the Supreme Witch in Coven.
Oh, okay.
American Horror Story. She's just a cool older lady that pops into my head. Like, I could get behind that.
Yeah.
I don't know her politics. I'm just saying, like, if she was a good politician. But... I'm just trying to point out, like, it's not just their age. There's multiple things that surround it. Like, Joe Biden is old and a loser.
Not even just that. It's like, okay, these people are old, they're rich, they're lifelong politicians. It's like,
out of touch.
Completely out of touch. Joe Biden has absolutely no clue what is going on in this country. All of those politicians, like half of the people, like half of the senators we have, they don't know what it's like to be a normal poor person in the United States. They have no clue. They have no clue what it's like to live in the projects. They have no clue what it's like to work a minimum wage job and to try to feed your family and to worry about if you're going to be able to pay the utilities. They couldn't even fathom that. Like, they can pretend, like, they can be like, oh, yeah, you know, I have sympathy for you. Like, oh, that's really hard. Like, you know, maybe I'll try to do all these, like, tax you guys more and then hopefully give you all these programs to help you and put you on welfare. But that's not, like, a genuine empathetic understanding of what it's like to be a normal person. You know what I mean?
That's just an attempt to make somebody, manipulate somebody into feeling like you care and then enslave them further by putting them
And that's the thing, too. It's like... I don't want to hear all these rich old people telling me that, you know, they care about our struggles and that they're going to, you know, give us more welfare. That's not going to help. And that's not like a genuine,
and
like, you know, so this guy being like, oh, like, let's fix the economy. Like, let's do something about this. That's a real solution. You know what I mean?
And I would like to point out, yes, they're not anything like us. They're way out of touch. But it's not because they're born better than us or something. They're just humans like you and I. They're just regular people that just happen to be parasites, and they're in a gang, and they're idiots and liars and thieves. But I just wanted to point that out for Jet, because, Jet, you're on the line. What's on your mind, Jet?
Uh-oh.
Well, we beat you to it.
Last week, I was talking about, you know, how... A true Christian would not be in favor of invading and attacking and that kind of thing. But I wanted to tell you a little story about how I got kicked out of Bible study because I made the assertion that you cannot be a true Christ follower and be a part of the military or the police. Now, of course, that just made everybody's hair stand up on end. And, you know, eventually I was told to leave. But the reasoning is that when you become an order follower, like one of these, and you have to follow the orders or you don't get your job. You don't get to stay in your job. So you will be tasked with, ordered to, do things that are immoral, against people's rights, for example, or in other ways, possibly even hurt somebody, which is not a Christian way. So I wanted to refer back to a couple Bible verses.
Wait, can I ask you a question? So since we spoke last, and I asked you about your perspective as a Christian on war, since then you got kicked out of a Bible study for saying this?
No, this is, gosh, years and years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of an interesting situation. Well, the Bible study group just happened to be made up of mostly people working for the federal government. So
that'll do it.
It was fun for me. But the fact is, you cannot say that you're a follower of Christ and then do immoral things and say, well, I'm just doing my job. Now, an example is the apostles at one time were brought in front of the Sanhedrin, which is kind of like the Jewish system of justice and all that in court. And they said, we gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Well, Peter then and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. And see, that's my position, that I don't care what these other human beings, because to me they're just other failed flesh and blood sinners. I don't care what they have to say. If it does not correlate or jive with what my teaching is all about. Now, there's another example when Jesus himself, the Pharisees and the Herodians were trying to trick him into, because the Pharisees, of course, were the religious teachers of the law. The Herodians were the Roman guard and that thing who had occupied the land. And they got together and said, hey, we got to figure out some way to trick this guy so we can get him locked up. And so they came to him and with this one phrase, and this is actually an interesting phrase that I attempt to use to find out if someone is a true Christ follower or not. And it seems to be pretty simple, but it's a very telling thing. They said to him, teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity, that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. And then they went on to finally say, what say you? Is it right to pay tribute to Caesar? Now, tribute is something more than a few coins. It's bowing down and submitting to the authority. And of course, that's when he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, the God of his gods. And we all know that Caesar is dead and nothing is his anyway, so ta-da. But I wanted to pass those things along because I thought it was kind of a fun circumstance where these so-called Christians said, I can't be a part of their group because I don't believe that we should be warmongers or invaders of other countries and killers of brown people around the world. And what's your next question?
Well, that's really interesting. I don't know a lot about that moment where Jesus said, give to Caesar unto Caesar's, but Nikki's husband actually had a pretty cool interpretation. I don't know if it was like it was a long time ago that he brought this up, but he was telling us that, I think he was listening to a guy who said that it's interesting because if you took to the extreme what Jesus said in your back then, and you just took all of that crap called the fiat currency where they lived and dumped it on Caesar's front lawn literally and stopped using it, then that'd make Jesus kind of an anarchist, and that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is, the Bible says in the Old Covenant and in the New, it says all things are God, made by God, for him, for his pleasure, for his purpose. So logically, you've got to say if all things are God's, then nothing is Caesar's. And what I like to use as a great example is I pull out a $100 bill and I say, give Ben Franklin what is Ben Franklin and the gods what is God's. Because Ben Franklin was never a president, or he was part of the, you know, founding, in quotes, government. But it just shows how ludicrous it is. And plus, he's dead. You know,
yeah.
Nothing is these people. So I just wanted to pass that little tidbit along.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the call. I guess I beat him to his typical...
I know, he didn't even have to say it.
So he didn't even have to get into that. He basically usually likes to tell us not to just say government and have it sound like, oh, this is some other class of being.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, like with all of those, you know, like cops and all that. It's like it's almost like they're a different class of person, right? But truthfully, they're no different than you or I, you know?
Yeah, they're just like human beings, but they have accumulated a bunch of power over others wrongfully.
They might be a little sick and deranged,
right?
But technically they are human beings, probably.
Yeah, but oh my God, when I dealt with yesterday, she seriously looked like 12, and I know that's coming from me.
So she's a cop?
I guess she's a cop. She was dressed in a cop outfit, and she was the one that was letting people in to go to a visit.
Oh, she
yesterday.
Was like a correctional officer?
Yeah. I know she wasn't 12, but seriously, she looked more 12 than me.
Yeah, I keep thinking, when you're saying that, do you remember that whole thing with that, like, cop girl that, like, bangs the whole...
Oh.
That's like, I keep, like, when you're describing her as, like, a 12-year-old cop, I just keep...
Yeah.
Seeing that other lady's face in my head, and I'm like,
except this one was actually, she was
laughing.
A pretty girl.
Yeah.
She was just very young looking, but she was so freaking psychopathic yesterday. I was just telling her, like, if you're going to hold on to my ID, which isn't what all of you guys do, you all do something different whenever I come here to visit, then I'm going to need a little stick or a little tag that they sometimes give you that says you have some of my property so I can get it back when I come out. And her eye twitched.
Yeah, that you even had the audacity
yeah.
to say something like that.
No one else was saying
yeah.
anything like that. They're like, okay, you can have my ID. Like,
yeah.
No, like, somebody else could walk out before me and just grab my ID the way that they do it. Anyways, I don't know why I brought it up. I was just saying that they're sociopaths, basically. But getting back into this article from APnews.com about Javier Milei, it says, polls show that the word Argentines... What? Both his supporters and opponents most often associate with Milei is crazy. Sorry, that was a weird sentence. So they associate the word crazy with him. But then again, you know, it says his supporters and opponents, and it's pretty popular to be like, this is my best friend. She's so crazy.
Yeah.
So maybe they kind of mean
it
like
that. Yeah,
a
good thing. I don't know.
She's like, oh my God, crazy. We went to the grocery store, and she was like carrying around grapefruits pretending they were her boobs. Isn't she so crazy?
Yeah.
Just something stupid like that. I'm pretty sure that's a meme. Sebastian Borrego, 51, and his 12-year-old son traveled 21 miles from their hometown. That doesn't sound far.
right, yeah.
At least by car.
Well,
walking.
It could be far. It depends on, you know, it's like 51 miles in...
No, 21.
21?
Yeah.
Oh.
Seems like not worth mentioning, right?
Yeah.
Unless they were walking, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it says they traveled 21 miles from their hometown to attend a Milei rally. It just sounds like it's like a suburb of the city. There.
But you know what I will say? When you live in, like, a rural area, like, that could take longer to get
yeah.
to than, like, here where we have so many highways and roads and, you know
They
what I mean?
Should say the amount of time if that's
going to Yeah,
that
amount of time.
Weird.
Yeah, because I'm like, 21 miles, that's
traveled an hour and a half.
That's, you know? Like... 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
From their hometown to attend a Milei rally in the capital last month. In a show of support, Borrego wore a homemade lion mask. Quote, we need a leader who, oh my God, the picture I just scrolled down to. It says, quote, we need a leader who can take us to a new way of life that we Argentines need. Do you see this picture here, Nikki?
Oh my gosh, that is like terrifying.
It is terrifying.
It's like a mask of Milei.
Yeah, they're trying to look like him.
Yeah.
Even the
hair
mask.
It's detailed. It's very detailed, but.
You immediately know what he is.
Yeah, it's kind of just a little scary though.
Really scary.
I feel like masks like that,
gross.
Like those rubber masks.
Latex.
Always. Yeah, they're always
even
scary.
Even the hair is. that latex or...
Yeah.
He said, we need a leader who could take us to a new way of life that Argentines need. The fight is just getting started. That's a supporter of his, and I don't know if he's the one dressed like that, but he's also wearing a shirt with a lion on it that says Javier Milei. And then there's this other weird thing. I'm just going to have you look at that, too, so it's going to be a little bit hard to explain. It looks like...
A baby on a stick?
A fetus lollipop.
Yeah? It's a lollipop?
No, it just looks like... I'm trying to describe it to listen.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. I don't know. Yeah, it does look like a fetus.
Yeah, it's definitely supposed to be a fetus, and there's, like, a circle around it, maybe to symbolize, like, the amniotic sac. And it's on a stick, and somebody's carrying it around outside of one of these places, and I'm not exactly sure if that's support for Milei or what. There's another one with the guy with a mask on that's just the Argentine flag. I really don't know which way to say that. There's just, like, kind of a regular-looking lady, and I'm not even sure why they put him. A guy with his chihuahua in a spacesuit-looking backpack, which is awesome. I've seen those before. There's just some more regular people carrying Milei flags here. There's a lady dressed up. Whoa, I don't even know what this is. Possibly, like, supposed to be, like, the Argentinian flag. And
oh, yeah.
A sun at her, what chakra is that? Sacral?
Yeah, I told you, they're very creative folks,
right.
You know?
Way more creative, like you said, than the Trump people.
Yeah.
Here's some sharing burgers and pizza. There's a guy with a mask on and the Argentinian flag, and he's on a bike. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm looking for the rest of the article, but this might be it. It's just a bunch of different... Oh my gosh, it looks like this one's a little, like, sexual-related. I don't know what that means. I was going
to
say...
Well, we really should have learned how to speak Spanish before before we got into this story.
It's translated here. It's just
the okay.
Face she's making looks like she's in ecstasy, I'll say. And the shirt
looks
says,
like she's in labor.
Yeah, the shirt says, Basta de falsas denuncias.
Oh, what does that mean?
Stop the false complaints.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. It doesn't explain it. Nope, it doesn't explain it in the caption or anything. So, yeah, there's all kinds of different... I guess I could just go on. Like, I'm seriously scrolling really hard at this point, and it's just showing tons and tons of supporters. So that's the end of that article. And I thought that was pretty entertaining. Nick, if you don't mind, you can pull up your article about the cop that busts into the wrong house.
Yeah, so this happened in... No, that was... I was about to say it happened in Mississippi. It did not happen in Mississippi. That is a different story I had. Let me see.
It was Seattle, this one.
Yes, Seattle.
But we can get into it in the next segment. I didn't even notice we were so close to the end of that segment. 603-283-6160 if you want to get into this conversation. Check out the AP news article that we were just reading, and I'll put it on the socials because it has a lot of interesting photos. I mean, this guy's really popular, Javier Milei. 603-283-6160, it's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is ShopSuperTea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
USA News Update. A Wisconsin jury has found a woman guilty of poisoning a woman with eye drops.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Jesse R. Kershevsky, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide
Jesse Krzyzewski stole money from Lynn Herndon and later killed her to cover up the fraud. Over half of U.S. voters want additional candidates to enter the 2024 presidential race. That's according to Quinnipiac poll. Despite over a dozen contenders in the race, 52% of voters express a preference for more options. In contrast, Republicans express satisfaction with the existing field of candidates. Salman Rushdie was surprised with the first-ever Lifetime Disturbing the Peace Award by the Vaclav Havel Center on Manhattan's Upper East Side. The award, kept secret, was attended by over 100 people. Dave Collins, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com. That's advertise at GCNLive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
For this last segment, 603-283-6160 is the phone number to call. 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
And Nikki.
And we're just going to get right into this article. It's about something that happened in Seattle. What's it about, Nikki?
So, cops stormed into a terrified Seattle woman's home. It was the wrong address.
Terrible and familiar.
Elizabeth Rain was about to take a bath when police officers kicked down her door.
Wait, so was she naked? Because then it literally sounds familiar.
I think so.
When I said sounds familiar, I meant like because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But
and it basically happened to you, right?
Yeah, but it was in the wrong house. But then
yeah,
said,
it was the correct house, I guess.
She might be naked.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, I was naked because that's how I sleep.
Yeah, kicked down at her door, flooded into her apartment, and pointed their guns at her. In November 2020, 45-year-old Elizabeth Rain was preparing a bath when five Seattle police officers broke down her door and streamed into her apartment. She barely had time to throw a coat over herself when she was stormed by the officers, who shouted commands and pointed their guns at her. However, the officers had no reason to enter Rain's apartment. According to a lawsuit filed last month, the police had gone to the wrong address.
Oh, I'm glad she's suing them.
Yeah, they weren't even in the correct building.
I don't know if she'll win, but they should at least try suing.
I mean, yeah. It's just crazy to even think that she could possibly not win. Like, oh, they just made an honest mistake.
Yeah.
But when any of us make honest mistakes, we go to jail.
Right. Like, pointing a gun at someone.
When cops make honest mistakes, first of all,
dishonest mistakes.
As a professional, a quote-unquote professional, well, how are you going to the wrong address?
Yeah.
You guys, don't you think before you do a no-knock raid, bust someone's door down and point guns at them, you should make sure it's the right house?
I mean, an Uber Eats delivery driver receives more consequences for their actions of going to the wrong house than a freaking cop.
Yeah, I mean, literally. And this is, you know, this isn't the first time this has happened. They've murdered. Remember Breonna Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that, or maybe it was the right house. But there was another one. I mean, they killed her.
Yeah.
But and she was not the suspect. But this happens all the time where they go into the wrong house. And then people are like, what? Like, what are you doing here? Like, and people have died. And the police shot and killed them. And they weren't even in the right house. Not if they were in the right house, it'd be okay. But it's just like, this could have totally been completely avoided.
Even if
you guys knew, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, it's a terrible thing to go through if you have no possible way of, quote unquote, deserving it. Like, if you're hurting someone, you're torturing, maybe you deserve to have your house raided, but...
But I would say, like, the majority of the time, no-knock raids are completely unwarranted. Any raids are unwarranted. And it's just super traumatizing for the people involved. To have your space, your home, completely violated, to have criminals, thugs, gang members storm into your house and point guns at you, that is, I don't know in what world are those the good guys. Like, that's the law enforcement.
Yeah.
The people who are, like, murdering people and breaking into your home, that's the law enforcement? That sounds like a criminal gang to me.
And, like, what was... Even the reason they were doing this to the person who they were supposed to be going to their house, I feel like it probably wasn't what I just described. Like, oh, you have a, a tortured victim.
No, they're probably like, oh, this person might have a gun, so you should probably, whatever, stupid. So even after police knew or should have known that they had broken down the door of the wrong apartment in the wrong building, the defendants still continued to needlessly search her apartment while Miss Rain trembled in fear. So, I don't know how they were, so they should have figured out by now. I mean, I guess they should know what the suspect looks like or whatever, or like some way to ID them or something. Or if she's saying like, no, that's not who I am, like I'm somebody else. They still searched her apartment without a search warrant? Like, that sounds illegal.
Yeah.
So according to the Seattle Times, the officers believed they were responding to a crisis call about an intoxicated man who may have been attempting to push someone out of a window. While other first responders were able to reach the correct address, the paramedics. The paramedics and the fire department made it to the right place.
Why?
But it's the cops that were so dumb that they couldn't even find the right building.
Why does this even require searching through her items?
If it doesn't.
If it's about a guy who's trying to push a lady out or somebody out a window.
Yeah, like there's no search warrant there. Why are you looking through her stuff?
Yeah.
Why are you still in her apartment?
Yeah.
Leave.
Is there
a man here? Is anybody pushed out of a window?
Or near to it?
Yeah, so it's like, clearly, the situation that you're responding to isn't happening here. Maybe you should leave, say sorry, and then, go find whoever actually needs help.
These freaks, they just, like, can't handle being wrong, so I feel like a lot of these situations, they already figured out that they're wrong, but they're just going to go on.
They were like, I hope we find a crack pipe on her coffee table or something.
Totally.
So, you know what I mean? Like, oh, thank God we busted your door down. You know, it's just insane.
Well, we do have a caller on the line in Washington. Chuck, what's on your mind, Chuck?
Yeah, talking about that lawsuit, I was just reading up on that.
Oh.
That was, they took that to the street during the protest / riots / Chaz Chop area. That was one of the, things that people were protesting about, no-knock warrants. And how dangerous, really, and most of the time unnecessary, it is. in Auburn, Washington, which is in the Seattle area, I believe. It's in that area. They had a recent incident where like four or five of these organized criminals with masks on their face knocked on a door in an apartment complex, identified themselves as police.
Dang.
And they weren't police, and the person living inside the apartment started blasting and his pistol at him and chased him off. But you know, mm-hmm. that story right there kind of helps prove that whole notion that, you know, maybe no-knock warrants are not a good thing.
It's a terrible thing. It's kind of messed up to say, but if you're breaking into someone's house, you can clearly see, most people who at least believe in gun rights can clearly see that the person defending their house was in the right for that situation when they're just somebody pretending to be a cop. But a lot of people who believe in gun rights, don't believe that you'd be in the right in the situation where it was actually a person calling themselves a cop. And I'm not saying that it's a good idea. It's a terrible idea.
It's disgusting, though, to break into... I mean, that's why you have a gun, right? Like, to defend yourself. So it's like, yeah, if somebody is committing a, you know, a B&E on my house, if they're breaking and entering into my house,
yep,
and they're trying to hurt me, and I feel threatened, like, isn't that the point of having the nightstand firearm, you know what I mean? Like, if a drug addict was breaking into your house and trying to steal your stuff to pawn it for whatever, you would want, if somebody's coming into your house and trying to assault you, you know, like, that's why you would want a firearm. And it's like, how is it different just because it's a cop and it's like, oh, this is legal.
And
this is illegal breaking and entering.
You could argue that the cops doing this are making it more dangerous for people who get a regular criminal breaking into their house pretending to be a cop, because if they're afraid to shoot them and they're just listening to everything they say, well, they're going to get their things stolen or they're going to get hurt, and they didn't defend themselves because they didn't think they could legally defend themselves because mm-hmm. they thought it was really a cop.
Thank God for body cams, by the way. I just want to say that right now. It really is doing a number, exposing the negligence of police, and it helps them hold them accountable if there is such a thing. But anyway, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you so much for the call, Chuck. We have more from the story, right?
Yep. So... Okay, so we already went through that. So they believed they were responding to a crisis call about an intoxicated man who may have been attempting to push someone out of a window. While other first responders were able to reach the correct address, a second group of officers ended up in a different apartment building where they mistakenly stormed Rain's apartment. Body camera footage shows the officers kicking Rain's door in and rushing into her apartment with guns drawn. The officers are also captured searching through her apartment while Rain sobs and trembles in fear.
Oh my God.
The officers actually...
I'm sorry, I missed it. Was she naked?
She had just enough time to put a coat on.
Hmm.
So I think she just grabbed, like, maybe a bathrobe or something and threw it on. And so she's naked enough in her own house. And, yeah, everything about this is just, one, even if you're responding to a crisis call, why do you have your guns drawn?
Yeah.
It just, it's such, like, an overuse of...
Imagine you're about to get pushed out a window, and then cops bust in the room. They might freak out and just push you.
Yeah, that's the thing, and it's like, anyone else that responds... police officers are, like, the worst people to respond to crisis calls. Like, a therapist, paramedics... Like, anyone else is better trained to respond to someone having a mental health crisis or any sort of emergency, honestly. It's like, and I will say, you know, to be fair, recently I had an encounter with police officers at my work where I had a patient who was, like, freaking out and a danger to themselves, quote unquote, whatever. They appeared that way. They're incredibly intoxicated. And I had to call the police because that's part of, you know, the protocol at my work. And the police officers that showed up were actually, like, really kind and gentle and were totally, like, so in that circumstance, like, yeah, they actually, that particular human being did a good job of diffusing the situation.
But why do they have to steal from people to do that job? Why
yeah, exactly. Just, I mean, yeah, I'm essentially doing the same thing in that circumstance, right? And I'm, you know, not being paid with taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, you're not.
That are stolen. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, we could possibly absolutely accomplish those things without,
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. It's like, I was trying to explain this to a guy me and Joe were talking to, like, 2 weeks ago. It was like, I asked him if he's ever had a good, interaction with a cop where a cop actually helped him. And I kind of won. I was going to win either way if he was like, no. Yeah. I was going to be like, well, there. But since he said yes and he explained, oh, a cop helped me not get my iPod stolen or something like that, I was just like, okay, so what makes you think that that is something that can't be done without them being paid from theft?
Yeah.
Like, that's all the differences I'm saying here. I'm not saying, oh, we don't need anyone who can help people when their iPod is being stolen. I'm saying, why steal from other people to stop stealing?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't at all. So the officer's actions put Rain in mortal fear that she was going to be assaulted or killed in this incident through no fault of her own, reads the complaint.
Sounds familiar.
She was about to take a bath in her own apartment at the time, had disrobed in preparation for getting into her bath, and barely had time to throw on a large coat to cover herself before the defendant officers who entered the apartment shouted commands at her and pointed. They are pointing guns at her. Mm-hmm. Rain's lawsuit argues that the officer's forced entry into her home violated her Fourth Amendment rights and subjected her to substantial mental and emotional distress, fear for her physical well-being, invasion of privacy, loss of privacy, and other related damages.
I feel like they're going to just be like, well, qualified immunity, so whatever, and she's not going to win this, but it's a pretty freaking opening close case as far as regular real morality. You know, like they seriously infringed on her, just her natural rights. I'm not even talking about the Constitution.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about even law here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they infringed on her, like, actual legal rights, but also her rights as a human being.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we were talking about in, like, the first or the second segment, we were talking about AI and animals and how it's better just to be kind to other people just as, like, you know, just to be a good person, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, clearly this is not happening.
These are the type of people
case,
that would be,
you know what I mean,
abusing and telling Siri if Siri was sentient, like, I'll turn you off and kill you.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, these people are probably going home and actually beating their wives and their children. So.
I mean,
statistically speaking, yeah. So this is far from the first time that the police have mistakenly stormed into the wrong address. Cops frequently invade homes without properly checking they have the right address, leading to damaged property and terrified residents. Further, tragedy has occurred countless times when police officers have raided the wrong home and ultimately killed an innocent person living there. While the exact scale of the problem is unclear, between 2017 and 2020, Chicago police alone raided at least 21 wrong addresses. And unfortunately, as is true with most instances of police violence, officers who kill or injure innocent homeowners when they invade the wrong address are usually protected by qualified immunity. So, yeah, it's pretty scary. Yeah, and like, we need to absolutely get rid of qualified immunity. If anyone else, like, listen, if I was a paramedic and I was if I went into the wrong house and, like, kicked the door down and was like, oh, I heard somebody's having a heart attack in here or whatever.
And pointing guns at people.
Yeah, I mean, paramedics don't have guns, but,
yeah.
You know, even if I were, like, just went to the wrong address, I'm sure I would get reprimanded, fired. I would at least
but
get written up.
How much worse would it be if you were just, like, carrying your own gun and also doing all that stuff? It would be even worse. Like,
yeah.
Going through their stuff.
So, like, that's the thing. It's like,
paramedics don't do, but.
But other people in, you know, like, paramedics, I'm using paramedics as an example because it's like, if, I mean, it's a similar field to mine, so I can, like, rationalize it, right? I can, like, understand, but it's like, if anyone else did this, if anyone else made a mistake this big in their job, they would be fired. You know what I mean? They would be, they would get their license taken away. You know what I mean? Like, if I made
legal consequences, like
legal consequences. Yeah. Like if I did this as a nurse or a paramedic, I'd probably get my license taken away. I would probably get fired. There would probably be legal consequences. Why are police officers protected under qualified immunity? There are so many other jobs that are equally or more so, like more dangerous, because that's the, in order for cops to protect and serve, they need qualified immunity or else they won't be able to do their jobs safely and effectively. Well, they don't do their jobs effectively. They don't do their jobs safely. They're hurting all of these other people, and they have absolutely no consequences. Anyone else would have consequences. So, like, why is it not the same for cops?
That's an obvious one that needs to go into the New Hampshire legislature. I mean, I haven't thought of it and, like, sent it to Jason Gearhart. I'm not blaming anyone for not putting it in, but that's one that really needs to go in soon. It would be, that makes such a huge difference. You couldn't even argue that New Hampshire was the freest state if we ended qualified immunity.
Yep.
Is that all from that story?
Yep, that was the end of it.
Well, that's really terrible. I know there was a story that was really similar in New Hampshire. In Manchester, a man, I guess, was selling drugs, and his mom lived, like, next door. And they busted into her house and shot and injured but didn't kill her just because they thought that address was where, or maybe it wasn't that he lived next door. They were, like, confused, like, it was a previous address he used to live with.
But either way, this was about a drug charge?
Yeah, they were thinking he was selling, like, pills. They busted into her house and shot her. Right.
So, and that's the thing, too. It's like, and this happens so much where it's like, the response doesn't match what people are being accused of.
You're selling Percocet. I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah, like, that doesn't, like, why are we doing a no-knock raid for that? Like, why are we killing people over that?
And he was, like, suspected of selling Percocet. It's like,
he's in, innocent until proven guilty? No.
That's kind of a myth in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, moving on, we have this story from the Los Angeles Times. I don't know if there's really much of a moral story here, but it is interesting, and it is a little bit crazy. It says, off-duty pilot took psychedelic mushrooms 48 hours before flight, prosecutor says. And when I first saw the headline, I just thought, that couldn't possibly have anything to do with whatever he did. Like, you're not on shrooms for 48 hours. Like, you take a lot.
It says, unless you're having, like, a psychotic break.
And I think that's more likely what's happening. So I think that the headline is just kind of, I can't think of the word, but
like clickbait type of deal.
So it says the flight started normally with two pilots and an off-duty colleague in the cockpit talking about the weather as they took off from Seattle for San Francisco a few minutes ahead of schedule. But the Horizon Air flight ended about as strangely as it could. An emergency landing in Portland, Oregon. Period. Sorry. The off-duty pilot handcuffed and strapped to a seat in the back of the plane after allegedly trying to shut off fuel to the engine. And an investigation by the FBI into whether he was on psychedelic mushrooms during the flight. This event is a unicorn, said Robert Ditchy, an aviation expert and former executive at numerous airlines. It's almost unthinkable to me. Federal prosecutors in Oregon charged Joseph Emerson, 44, with interference with flight crew members and attendants. Emerson, an Alaska Airlines pilot of 22 years, was arrested after crew members detained him Sunday following an outburst in the cockpit in which he tried to kill everybody on the flight, prosecutors alleged in court papers. Horizon Air is a regional carrier, I'd never heard of it, owned by the parent company of Alaska Airlines. The FBI said in a criminal complaint unsealed Tuesday that it is investigating whether Emerson was on psychedelic mushrooms, an official told the Times. In the complaint, an agent revealed that Emerson told investigators about his use of psychedelics and said it was his first time taking mushrooms. But FBI officials declined to confirm that Emerson had taken mushrooms at the time of the midair incident. Quote, it is vague in the complaint, but that is part of what the FBI is investigating, unquote, said Joy Giras, an FBI Portland field office spokesperson. The FBI is investigating the timeline of his use of magic mushrooms. I can't believe they're calling
it
that.
It's just, It's so random. Like, why would that be, like, the first thing they think of?
It's because these FBI people, like, they would never take shrooms. They, you know, they get psychological evaluation.
Well, and they, like, hear about, like, oh, this person took acid and they jumped off of a building.
Right, exactly. So that's exactly why they would think
they're like, yeah, you take mushrooms and you think you can fly and you, like, jump in front of oncoming traffic when that's, like, not. Like, you're still, like, on mushrooms. You're still pretty coherent.
Right.
Unless you take, like, an outrageous amount, but, like, you're still, like, you know, you might be giggly, you might, you know, see some visuals or something, but you're not, like, completely out of your mind.
It's just, I always think of these people as they would be a lot better if they had taken these things, like, during Ian's trial in December last year, me and TJ were talking, TJ that calls in a lot, and I think he used to be a show host, I'm pretty sure. Well, he's hosted the show with me and Ian before, so I guess he was. Anyways, TJ the Spy. We're talking about just psychedelics before the day started, and this FBI agent, we called her, well, I don't want to say what we called her, but she had short hair. I called her Tinkerbell, but there were a lot meaner words for her that were said, and she was an FBI agent that was kind of in charge of, like, collecting all this information on Ian, and then she went up there and lied about him, and she was such a gross cop. Like, so gross. She used to be a regular cop, like, in Charlottesville, Virginia.
But now she's a stalker.
And now she is a stalker and a liar. And she was walking past us, like, walking into the courtroom, and me and TJ were like, you should try DMT.
You said that to her?
Yeah.
You told her that she should try DMT?
And I was like, that's one. You really that's should awesome. Try DMT. But she
you,
just, like,
you look
angry.
Like you could use some DMT.
Right. But,
you know, you would be so much less of a scumbag
right.
if you just expanded your mind and stopped, you know, harassing peaceful people.
Right.
You know, you should try getting a real job.
Yeah, but they don't let you talk that much. She just kind of gave us, like, a glare and kept going. But it's true. It's true. And basically, this guy didn't sleep for a long period of time, and that's what happens. That makes you crazier than just taking a normal amount of magic mushrooms. Well, freetalklive.com, you can visit us there, find out more about us, and listen to more shows. We'll see you again tomorrow. Peace.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering next ride.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.